World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. I'm working my way back to you, babe. I'm starting to feel almost normal again, believe it or not. I don't know how much I've slept in the last week. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. I hope the shows have made sense. But boy, something. When Michelle and I went to Florida a week ago, and it's been a week, man. It's been a week. And Michelle too. I mean, she's a wind up toy. She never stops serving people. And she really been drained too. So I'm sure we're not the only ones. Just keep us in prayer. And it's good to be back, kind of back where we are. Communion today. So get your communion in there. Hey, look, I want to touch base on a couple things before we really get rolling. Tomorrow, Randy, let me get a look at here, Adam. Randy and me and Ray, the several of us, Adam, come on in here a second. Tell us what's going on tomorrow.
Hey, Coach. People,
that your podcast tomorrow, bro. Hey, Adam, listen. You wouldn't believe what I have on my plate. Not that it's a lot, but different things. And I write them down, and then I lose my calendar, and I've been sick for a week, and my brain's cheese, Swiss cheese, if you know what I'm talking about here. Explain to us what's going on tomorrow there, Adam.
Well, there's going to be four of us on the podcast, you, Randy, myself, and Kevin, and we're going to have a discussion on what Christian nationalism is and why it's a good thing.
Awesome, man. A lot of people in Q said, what's Christian nationalism? Well, it'll be good to dive into. Look, I've got a lot here. I'm trying to get, bear with me a second, okay? I got a lot of stuff here that really matters to me. Number one, Saturday, 4:00, Steeman Road, Baltimore, Ohio. What's going on there, Glenn? What's going on there? Everybody get your communion stuff and get ready to go.
This is for the people in Ohio.
Anybody can come. You can fly in if you want.
Well, yes, of course.
If you're in Kokomo, Indiana.
If you're here visiting, you're welcome to attend. But it's from 4 to 7 or whatever time we finish. It will be at Mel's house. I did send an email out to those who did respond previously. And so if you'd like to attend, just RSVP me, let me know you're coming. So we have a count approximately of how many people will be attending, and bring a snack with you to share with others.
Amen. So there it is. Thanks, Spencer, for getting that up then. And thanks to Mel, who just does all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, and she's as busy as everyone else. We're trying to develop a little bit more idea. That's what I was barking about yesterday, house to house, right? Come on, we can not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even when we see that day approaching. And some people are leaving because they get butt hurt over theology. Ray, give me a real loud amen, will you?
Amen. And a boom on top of it.
Yep. They would rather cling to their theology than have fellowship. Huh? I'll tell you. You know what? I have a guy that I have breakfast with every once in a while, and he likes Michigan. But I do it. I swallow my pride, and I don't talk about the Buckeyes, and he doesn't talk about Michigan. Come on, man. Why don't we focus on the things that divide us? There's enough of that. In fact, that's the goal of the enemy, divide and conquer. So discord amongst the brethren. And so those are the people I tried to connect with yesterday. Did you leave for theological? Really? What? You don't like Trump, so you won't watch the show anymore? Are you kidding me? Somebody give me a thumbs up. You know what I'm talking about? You don't like Trump, so you don't watch the show. How stupid is that? Oh, my goodness. I'm starting to get my oats back, I guess. I guess that's what it is, okay? So, look, you see, I've never been to one of these gatherings. I know. Come on. Come on. You meet real, down-to-earth, normal people. We won't make you take a Masonic oath to be part of it. We won't make you swear an oath to our crew here. We'll give you a place to reach out and know some people, genuine people, who really, in fact, will care for you. They really will, all right? Of course, we have our differences. Of course we do. But you look around, different church on every corner, and they don't believe the same thing. And then you look at how organized the devil is. By the way, the devil owns all of Washington, D.C. Do you know that? Have you picked up on that yet? He owns all of Washington, D.C. because the church says, we don't own that. Well, we don't want to mix politics. Oh, my God. Oh, no. And so the devil owns Washington, D.C., which controls every aspect of your life and my life. And the Bible says that the whole creation is groaning, just waiting for God's people to show up and take over. You say, oh, Coach, well, we're not supposed to take over. We're going to be out of here soon. Well, that's a theological issue. The Bible also says, work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. It says, occupy till I come. You want to fight over Bible verses? Is that what you want to do? I can fight with the best of them. Are you my brother? Do you care about Paul Gosselin? Damn it, I care about Paul Gosselin. And I care what's going on with Ray LeBlanc. And I care with what's going on with Glenn. And I care with what's going on with Kimberly and Randy and Gene. I care. Do you care for one another like that? Do we have that common sense that when Ray's struggling, maybe somebody needs to encourage him? And look, there are people watching right now saying, what the hell are you talking about? Watching it for the first time? For those of you who are casually watching for the first time, we're brothers and sisters in Christ here. That's the thing that unites us. If you think this is a cultural show, it isn't. But we infiltrate the culture. We talk about the issues so we know what we're supposed to do. And it's funny, if you look at this list, I can see the faces up, not all of them. When I met Ray LeBlanc, however many years ago, Ray, 5, 6, 10, I don't know how many years ago, just a guy came driving over the hill in his van. And now what's he doing? He's pastoring. I hate to even use that word. He started a fellowship in Wisconsin, right? He doesn't need me rubbing his back and coaching him and say, talk about this. He knows what to talk about. He knows what to do. And I could go on. You don't think Craig Mickle has a ministry? You don't think Randy has a ministry? You don't think Dave Allison has a ministry? Come on, man. Come on. And all this is a gathering place to try to encourage one another. You don't have to agree with us. We have people who don't watch because they believe in the rapture and other people don't. Is that unbelievable? There's anything any of you out there could ever do about the rapture. You could lay your head on your pillow tonight and be dead. You're worried about stuff that does not have any impact on you here and now. Work while the sun shines. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. These are action verbs in the Bible about being a Christian. In fact, I'd like anybody out there to show me one place in the scripture where it says you go gather in a building and one man stands up in front of you and he controls the whole thing and you only do things with his approval. Ray, do you think you could find that for me? Any place in the Bible? Any place in the Bible where one guy's king? Oh, wait a minute. He's the lead pastor. Okay. Then lead us, bud, will you? Will you lead us? Because a real shepherd leads them out, the word says in John. Is that John 3? Huh? The real shepherd leads them out? But no, we funnel them in. I think that's John 3. Huh? No. That's not. It's about, Anyway, my brain's just running that way. Adam wants to interrupt me. Hang on, Adam. I'm not done. We got Christians who think what is going on in Minneapolis is wrong. We have Christians who believe that it's wrong to deport criminals. You say, well, Coach, these aren't criminals. Yes, they are. They violated the law. They violated the law. They violated the law, and they come here, and they make you and me pay for it. That's called thievery. That's called robbery. And we're finding out there's deep, deep thievery and robbery in the cover. Come on now, you big boys and girls, under the cover of religion all across America. And you pay for it, and I pay. I'm going to get off this horse here in a minute. I just thought I'd take a ride here this morning. How did Christians become so damn soft? It's like I've told this story before. I was trying to lead a brother, I was trying to lead a friend to the Lord one time, and he said to me, Coach, I'd love to be a Christian, but I don't want to give up my balls. That's what he said. Sissified, womanly, God bless you, Christianity. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That ain't going to win the day against the forces of darkness. They are on full assault, full sprint. And whether we want to believe it or not, just mentioning the name of Jesus is not going to do it. Pull up Romans. I'm sorry. I haven't forgot. Hey, Joe, I haven't forgot communion. I haven't forgotten it. Bring up the Faith Hall of Fame. Is that in, where is it? Hebrews 13, I think it is, Faith Hall of Fame.
11.
Thank you, whoever that was. Hebrews 11. Huh? Now faith is the substance of forever. For through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which appear were not made of things. By faith, Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated to see death. By faith, but without faith, it's impossible to see God. Because by faith, Noah. Huh? You don't think Noah got some opposition when he's running, trying to build a boat and trying to get people to get on the boat? Come on now. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should have received an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise for this, looking for a city. Keep going. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. There sprang forth Bubba. Keep going. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen far off. What? That they were persuaded, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And for they say, and keep going. By faith, Abraham, but of whom have said, keep going. By Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Moses, by faith, Moses, by choosing faith, keep steaming the birth, by faith, through faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, they walked on the Canaan. By faith. And what more shall I see? How, are you ready? Are you sitting down? Because time won't tell, won't fails to tell me of Gideon and Barak or Barak or Samson and Jephthah, David, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained. These weren't sissy boys and girls. These weren't, huh? Oh, no, they weren't sitting around worrying about the rapture. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped abortionists. They quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. These were God's people. They weren't huddling in some big fancy mega church with smoked lights and, come on now, smoke machines and funny lights. They escaped the edge of the sword. Well, who had a sword? You mean they took up arms? Out of weakness, they became strong. They started out weak and they became strong. They waxed valiant in fight. What? They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They didn't march up to Minnesota and say, oh, please don't be mean to the aliens. They turned them to flight, the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Folks, this is Bible. And others were tortured. Ray, are you picking up on this, Ray? Ray, this is Christianity. This is the foundations of Christianity. It may take this again from us. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sewn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They lost their homes. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, never got the promise. God, having provided something better thing for us, that they, who? Those folks we just read about, ain't going to be made perfect without us. We got a job to do, and we ain't doing it. Oh, you're going to your church and you're raising your hands and you're dancing in the spirit and you're waving flags. Yeah, yeah. And then you won't even walk out the damn door and do anything about homosex in your schools or abortion. Won't do a damn thing about it. God having provided them something better for us, that they without us shall not be made perfect. Wow. They're waiting on us, fellas. They're waiting on us. I don't know how many years I got left. I'm tired to sit on the pew Christianity. I want no part of it. I want no part of sit on the pew Christianity. I have no part. Is it okay if I tell you the truth? Well, I am. Huh? You call your church a fellowship? Hell, you don't even know most of the people in there. Somebody say boom. How many people in your church have you ever ate a meal with? Know anything about their life? Anything about their children? Anything about what their struggles are? That's why he said house to house, home to home, relationships. Oh, you got to come to our church. Oh, yeah. Oh, we have the greatest praise and worship music. Oh, the anointing is so strong. Yeah, and there's 500 people in there, and you don't know a damn one of them. Give me a thumbs up, somebody. Come on, let me know. I got one friend out there. Because I'm just telling it like it is.
Boom.
I'm just telling it like it is. And Ian Heavy is my brother. Okay, I'm going to let Adam say something. We're a little bit different here today. Okay, a little bit. I'm going to let these guys say something. And then we'll take communion, Joe. And then you can go back to bed, okay? Who's got their hand up? Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. Sorry about that. I just wanted
I'm
to
just
say,
tell, Adam, I'm just telling the truth.
Amen. Look, the Lord says that he hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren.
Right.
And so while we're busy beating each other up over non-essential doctrines, yeah, non-essential theology, we've allowed the enemy to infiltrate our church, and it's made the church feckless. And so now, instead of having actual churches, we have businesses and cliques where people meet and glad hand one another instead, yeah, of fighting against the faint and the wickedness of this world that we live in.
Amen. So we've met the enemy and it's us. Thanks, Adam. We met the enemy. It's us. It's us. Go ahead, Mel. And then we're going to do communion.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, Spencer, if you'd go back to the Liberty Action Network page, I want to just highlight one thing, especially if you are a man in this group. There's a weekend in February that's developing in Wisconsin. So we had promoted before the Men of Iron Conference in Green Bay on Saturday the 28th. Ray has put together a kind of a dovetail event the day before called King Jesus Vision. and it looks really good. If I were a man, I would be making plans to get to this. I would be getting up to Wisconsin.
I'm going to be there. Matt Truella's going to be there. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be there.
Yeah. So at this one that Ray is kind of putting together, it's Coach Dave. Dave Allison's going to be the worship leader. Matt Truella is going to be there. And Scott Sheriff from Amazing Grace is going to be there too. So I just wanted to put that out to you, especially if you are a man of iron, to get on up to Wisconsin. Thanks, Coach.
This is open to women and children as well, this venue.
Well, men of iron usually bring a strong women with them. Yeah, right. By the way, I'm working on a commentary that feminism has destroyed America. Feminism has destroyed America. Yep, it has. It has. Anything else, Ray? I'll get into all that stuff on the other side of communion. And we don't take this very seriously. Hang on. Anybody know Joe Silver? Joe Silver, Joe, you out there doing okay, man? Anybody checking in on Joe? I'm going. Maybe I'll give you a call later on, Joe. When you notice people have kind of slided away, where are they? I don't. You have one of these? You have one of these? Yeah. Do it. Look, it's kind of. You see these buttons here? 740, ding and and then it rings. And you put it to your ear, and someone on the other end answers it. And they say, hello? Hey, Tim? Tim, Coach Dave. Hey, how you doing, Tim? Man, I haven't heard from you. I've been noticing that you haven't been in the queue. Anything going on, man? Anything I help you with? You need any money? Hey, folks, I want to tell you something. You want to touch somebody's life? Give them money when they need it. Yeah. How many of you ever pick up the phone, calling your friends who's whatever, and say, you need money, man? Got a bill I can pay for you? And you know why that touches people's hearts so much? Because they love money. And they think there's a shortage. And their greatest fears when they get up in the morning is, am I going to have enough money? And how many of you pick up the phone? I'm not bragging. I'm using that example. I called several yesterday and I said, you need money, man? One of them started weeping. I wouldn't have known. Whole life consumed by lack. Can't catch up. I said, okay, brother, you send me that bill. We'll cover that thing. We'll cover that thing for you. I'll try to help set you free. I got more than I need. Do you have more than you need? See, this is fellowship. This is relationship. You mean I'm going to let Joe Carrico suffer every day because his credit card bill is eating him up? I can help him with it, and I don't. Hey, Joe, can I pay on that credit card for you? I'm not asking, Joe. Anything I can do to help you? You give somebody money in their time of need, and they will never forget it. You can tell them all you want to. I'll pray for you, Bob. I'm going to pray for you. Be filled and be warmed out there, brother. We're praying for you. No. I'm praying with you. I'm sending you $500. Now, wait a minute. I'm able to do that because you guys bless our ministry. But how many times do you, when it comes to giving, You're trying to be a Christian to somebody. You're trying to lead them out of the darkness. And they share with you that the bills are eating them up. And the first response you have is, do I have enough? You know, I got to go golfing later on today. And, you know, I promised my wife I'd get her a new car. I don't have enough. Really? And I've told you this before. I've seen it work. To be standing in line at Kroger's. No, it wasn't Kroger's. Doesn't matter. And the lady's in front of me with a child in a stroller and one on her arm. And she's putting her groceries down there. And you know how it does it. And the bill came up. And I said to the cashier, I'll take care of that. With my cross hat on. Wow. No much more, not much more conversation. We want to come to my church. Mercy ministry like that opens doors, folks, to the hearts of people. Nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. Go ahead, Jill. Lead us to communion. We didn't lose Joe, did we?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The reading this morning is John 10:9-18. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep.
Joe, let me stop right there a second, Joe. Folks, if you're going to a mega church, the pastor doesn't even know who you are. He ain't your pastor. I'm going to tell you this as nicely as I can. He's a hireling. It's very clear. There's two people here, the shepherd and the hireling. And if you have a pastor who is not intently involved in your spiritual growth, you're sitting under a hireling. Go ahead, Joe.
The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling.
The hireling flees. So the hireling sees the wolf coming and he flees. Guys, who's the wolf here, Ray? Who do you think the wolf is?
It's not Satan like we think, right?
No, it isn't Satan. No,
it's
the
imposter pastor.
He sees the wolf coming. Somebody's trying to take care of you while you're in your weakest moment. He sees the wolf coming. And he runs. This shepherd does. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, man. It's all over me.
I am the good shepherd.
You don't flee, man.
And know my sheep. And am known of mine.
Wow.
As the Father keepeth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
He sure does.
And other sheep I have,
which are not of this fold.
Wow.
Them also I must bring.
Mm.
And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Thank you, Lord.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Amen.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Amen. Well, I could preach there, brother.
Yeah, it's pretty profound.
Nothing's destroyed Christianity more than religion. Go ahead, Joe.
And the spirit of division.
Yep.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are privileged here to be gathered together with this unique congregation stretching across this great country you have blessed us to put us in. And we are grateful for the blessings you've shed upon us and for the challenges you've given us that make us stronger, for the tests you give us that increase our faith, for the examples you give us to help fertilize our faith, for the testimonies of our brothers and sisters and those who've been before that we can hold on to when times are tough, to know that you are there, to know that we are not alone, and to know that you have purpose in our lives. But we just need to hear or listen or feel what you want us to do and to be obedient. So, Lord, I ask that you help everyone here hear your voice. Help us to understand what you would have us do, and then to do it. Not to think about doing it, not to wish we had done it, but to do it. And where we drop the ball, help us pick it up again. And next time you ask, do it. Don't let one failure stop us from ever trying again. We're supposed to come to you as little children. Little children, when they fall down, they get up. Sometimes adults don't get up. We need to get up and walk again like a toddler learning to walk, and to get it right and to get better and better and to understand you more and more and better. Because these are times, Lord, when everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But our faith in you is not something that can be shaken. And your love for us is the firmest foundation that there is. And with this love, Lord, I ask that you give our sister Tina Peters an abundant overflowing of feeling of love. Let her know that she is not alone. And bring justice to that state that's pretending that its justice is true when it's not. Shake that system, Lord. Shake it to its core. Let all the false fruit fall from the tree of government. And let her be freed. And let that voting system there be one of the examples of things that can go wrong when they take it apart and show how it has been false, how it has not been true. And let those behind that system who've allowed that to pay a price, to pay the price they must pay. But also, Lord, let it be their come to Jesus moment. There's maybe their earthly lives are going to be shattered because of this, but perhaps it'll be what saves their immortal soul. Perhaps it's part of your plan. Maybe it was the only way that they could be saved is to be a part of this terrible system and then be caught red-handed and then be punished and then come to their knees and come to you, Lord. Maybe that's the only way for them. Maybe because your ways are greater than ours. We don't really have the ability to put that puzzle together. We know it's your puzzle, Lord. And we see a lot of things in the news that give us reason to be apprehensive. We pray, Lord, that you give us the strength not to have fear, but to have our faith increase the more and more we see things that others have fear. We know that the most common command in the Bible is to fear not or have no fear, and that's the one that we tend to break every day. We repent from that. We ask forgiveness when we fear. And we're so grateful of the foundation, the unshakable foundation you've given us, because we know that when we're out in the world and everybody else is afraid, they will not see fear on our face. And they'll say, how come you have no fear? And then we can say, come, I'll take you to my friends, my group, my church, and where fear is not allowed in. Fear does not go past these doors. Come here and be with us. These times are going to bring so many people to the Lord, and we're grateful that we're a part of it, Lord. We're grateful that you have us here now today to be a part of these times. We know that before we were even a twinkle in our Father's eye, you had already thought of us an eon before that. We are a part of your great plan, and we can't really fathom that, but we accept that, and we are grateful. And we're grateful for Coach and how he wakes us up to with touching our heartstrings this morning with our old friends and colleagues on this show that we're so busy in our lives we need to get out and reach and call them, not just every once in a while, but make them a regular part of our lives. If we haven't called them yet, that's okay, but now pick up the phone, send the email, do whatever you need to do, type a text or chat a text into the, speak a text into it if you use your phone that way, whatever you, but just reach out and be, let us make this congregation, this group, this fellowship, this wonderful virtual team that Coach has put together, let us be more cohesive, more connected, and more supportive of each other. And let us not be afraid to raise our hands and say, hey, I need a bit of assistance. I need someone to talk to. I need this. I need that. Because if you don't let anybody know, they can't help. We don't have telepathy. And we're grateful for communion, Lord. So grateful for what it means. And we ask you forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask you bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so long ago. And we do this not only in remembrance, but also in active participation of the covenant, which is a living covenant with our covenant God. And we're grateful we have been adopted into the family of Abraham and share his blessing and this covenant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thanks, Joe. I'm going to open it up here. I want to tell you another story. The Lord showed me this. a bunch of old seed. I have, I gotta be careful how I say it. I don't want the person to think I'm talking about. I had a need for something, and I put out a Facebook that I need this. If I got this out there, I need this. And I got a response back from somebody I knew. I mean, I know him, but I hadn't seen him in 20, 30 years. So yeah, I got two of them. I said, oh man, I'd like to buy them. Can I buy them? Sure, you can buy them. And I said, okay, well, how much you want? Oh, I don't know. Just give me whatever you think they're worth. I said, okay. So I got a hold of my buddy Norm. Norm will know the story out there. Got a hold of my buddy Norm, and he went by and picked it up. Two of them, actually. I don't need one. Picked up two of them. Brought them to me. And I looked at them, see if they worked. They didn't, you know, they were. They're old. It doesn't matter. And so how much you want? And told me. No, that's cool. $50. So I sent $250. I sent her $250. And she's blown away. She said, I only wanted $50. I said, I know. But I wanted to bless you. Do you have any idea the home run that is? When our mindset is what? Can I get it cheaper? Can I get another Christian? Can I get it cheaper? I said, we're blessed here. It's my honor. It's all mindset, folks. It's all mindset. Johnny, come on in.
Oh, Lord, I almost got in an accident right now. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh. There's a truck jackknifed right in the middle of the interstate. Sorry, you guys.
At least it didn't you, huh, Johnny?
Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Oh, that was close. We got a lot of snow here today. Coach, I want to say thank you so much for bringing this tender topic up about us, because we're all going through so much adversity right now.
Yep,
and also, Joe, I thank you for that prayer when you said how important it is for us to not be afraid to raise our hand and to reach out for help.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say any names, but we have a very, very close couple, married couple, who have three children, and their oldest boy took his life last week. And, you know, when we get down in the dumps, you know, the stress cracks that go on in each and every one of us, the enemy, he does. He wants to get in there, and he wants to talk you into something. He wants to convince you of something that is not of what God is. And then we have to live with the realities of what we went to a funeral last Sunday, and the disparity of all of those who love this family and love this individual. And it's so final.
It is.
And so that what you're talking about today, Coach, I'm grateful for, because we need to address these things in our lives, and things are getting tougher, and we need to know how blessed we are, especially in this queue, in this format that you put out, Coach. I'm grateful, because we're a family.
Amen.
And when we feel alone, we need to know that we have one another in Christ, and that we're there for one another. Mm-hmm. But we have to raise our hand, like Joe said. We need to reach out to one another. I just wanted to say that, and also I want to say a prayer for that family because we love them dearly. Amen. And it's such a sad time. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Coach.
Amen. 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 Let me give you another trick I do. I wear my cross hat everywhere I go. Okay. I bet you never thought of this. When I go through the line at Kroger and my bill's $10.36 and I give them $11 and the machine kicks out or they pull out the change, they give it to me. I say, no, I appreciate how hard you work. You keep that change. They almost collapse. What's 76 cents to me? But the message of here, keep that for you, not for Kroger. This is for you because I appreciate what you do. And they look at that hat. Boy, you talk about a witness. Kevin, come on in.
My first name is Thomas, and usually the only people that call me Thomas is bill collectors and people, stuff like that. But sometimes I have been a doubting Thomas. But what I've come to realize, and I didn't need proof, but you have proved it time and time again. I know when the Lord tells you something and you share that it is from the Lord. It is from the Lord, and it is solid. There's no reason to doubt it, being a doubting Thomas. Mm. But I want to thank you for everything you do. And I know you say it's just my job. I know. But I just want to say thank you, Coach.
Amen. You'd do it for me, wouldn't you?
In a heartbeat.
Wouldn't you do it for me?
If you call me today and said, Kevin, I need you tomorrow, I'll be there.
I know you would.
For the Lord said, who am I to send? Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Mm-hmm. It's much better to be a giver than a taker, folks. I don't ever want to have the reputation of being a taker. I'll be a giver. Now, hang on. There's accountability. Come. Now, you can't call me every 5 days. Say, hey, can you send me another 100? No, that ain't the way it works, dude. Huh? I'm gonna help you this time, but go and sin no more. Don't you come here and think I'm an ever flowing stream, because I ain't. I'll build a dam against you. When you repent, it means change. You made some problems here. You got a little bit behind on your bill. You're paying $500 a month on your credit card? Really? Okay, so listen. I'm going to send you $500 for this month. But you tear up that card. How bad do they want that $500? That's a slave. I don't even know how I got where I am here. This is, you talk about an open phone Friday. This is an open phone Friday for sure. But the best way, you know, the best way to get people to become Christians is to be one. Just be one. And sometimes here's what we've gotten wrong, in my opinion. That's why the church, a lot of men don't want to go to church. The church has become mercy only. And sometimes harsh men like me, I don't go to church to see mercy. I go to church because I want to see judgment. Anybody understand what I'm talking about here? Bible says mercy follows judgment. I want judgment. See, we are wrong when we give mercy before judgment. Unwarranted mercy. Mercy follows judgment. In other words, I admit it. I was wrong, Coach. I won't do it anymore. Boom. Judgment. Boom. Guilty. Okay. I'll help you here. And that aspect's gone. It's gone from Christianity. The church teaches you just mercy, 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 mercy. And I'm one of those guys. When I drive by that guy out on the street who's panhandling, you know who they are, at the stop signs, right, at traffic lights, got his can out there. I don't roll down my window and give him a dollar. I say, hey, dude, can I help you find a job? Well, you know that answer, don't you? You say, well, coach, they're drug ridden. I know all that stuff. Why the hell would I keep giving them money? Well, he's sleeping in the under an overpass. I know. What do you think he's doing that? You want to give money to him? Because why? We've taught mercy. Not hard judgment. Come on, dude. You get up out of there. Let's get you cleaned up and I'll take in. Let's go find you a job. They don't want to work. Mercy, 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 mercy. Stop it. I said, stop it. What, folks, that's discipline is the greatest form of love. Because I love you, boom, I'm going to tell you the truth. Stop it. Train up a child in the way he goes, and when he gets old, he won't act like a fool. Sometimes fools grow up and need to be retrained. Come on in, Ray. We've got about 9 minutes left here. Look, I'm not an expert at it, okay? I've just been at it a while, and I know how it works. And there's such a thing as a give and a take. And there's such a thing as a flow. If your heart loves money more than you love other people, you better check your heart. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell that somebody you love is struggling financially and you won't help them, what if the Lord said to you, I got all the money you ever want. Ray, I got it all right here. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, Ray. Wouldn't the Lord say this? Hey, Ray, I've been watching what you've been doing. And Ray, dude, if you don't stop overcharging that credit card, now here's what I'm going to do, Ray. I'm going to send you some money. But I'm watching, and if you keep running that thing up on that credit card, you're on your own, dude. Go ahead, Ray. I'm not talking about Ray and his credit card.
Yeah.
You get that, Ray.
You know what shuts the mouth of the opposition? That basically is that kind of attitude. You go before an abortion clinic, you know what really shuts their mouths is when those women go in there and say, listen, I will help you. Just come to us. We'll help you financially. We'll help you. You need a place to stay. We'll find a place to stay for you. You reach out to them in that kind of an attitude, and you shut the mouth of these opposition people out there. I remember one time, Coach, we were at an event. I think it was in Indiana with OSA or some other, I think it was them, and we were gathered there, and there was a homeless person just on the outskirts and coming in and seeing what we were all about. And the news coverage was there as well. And they were interested in how we were going to handle this guy. He was coming up looking for help. Are we going to reach out to him and give him help? And we did. We offered him a meal, a place to stay, and everything else. So, that charity is a very important thing as part of our mission. I know you talk about mercy missions isn't, you know, it's easy to do that because everybody pats you on the back and loves you for it. But it is part of something that you do compassionately. I've seen it throughout the years, how much you reached out and helped people that were in need, and appreciate you for that. Amen.
Ray, you know what I say to them? You'd do it for me, wouldn't you? And you know what they know? They wouldn't. No, they wouldn't do it. Hey, let me give you some good news here. It's from J.R. Harrison. J.R. sent us this morning. By the way, his show's tomorrow at, 10 o'clock. It says South Carolina introduces a personhood legislation. Pull that up there for me if you can, Russ Spence. Let me ask you something, folks. Let me ask you something. Think abortion's murder. Do you think God is for abortion? Do you think God will bless a nation that continues to murder babies? Do you think church gives a shit? Sorry. Sometimes that rough coach in me comes out, right? So South Carolina introduces personhood legislation that would treat all abortions as homicide. What? Yeah. How about that? Hey, folks, it ain't about the woman, the poor woman who's in trouble. The poor woman going into the abortion clinic, pulled her pants off, spread her legs, had sex, and got pregnant. And now she wants to go murder the baby. It's time we made the abortion debate over the baby and not the woman. Would somebody say amen? Amen. That women who kill their babies, let's call it what it is, are murderers.
Amen.
They are murderers, folks. That's not a choice. We're pro-choice here in our church. We're pro-choice. What? It's friggin' murder! Huh? It's murder. South Carolina introduces a personhood legislation that would treat all abortions as homicide. Oh, here we come. Here we come. Oh, the poor lady. I was raped! Oh, I was raped! Oh, were you drunk? Well, I was raped! Statistics show that abortions, as Mark Harrington showed us yesterday, less than 1%. Less than 1%. So we, okay, let's make this, well, anyway, by the way, if you were raped, then murder is okay then? Is Paul, is that the way I'm supposed to understand this? If you get, murder is wrong unless you are the product of rape, and then murder is okay. Is that, would that be the way it works?
Is that the, two is wrongs, that the, coach. Two wrongs don't
wrong,
make a right.
Do not make a right. And the church has not fought back against abortion because there's too many women in the church who've had them. Ray, that'd be a thumbs up. Vinny, that'd be a boom. And rather than helping women get cured or men get cured, healed from the wounding that they did, the murder they committed. They know it was a murder. Come on, they know. Rather than helping them get forgiveness, moving on to stop others from doing it, we legalize it. Oh, it's legal. Must be good. Must be all right. Government says it's legal. Yeah. Government says it's legal. Oh, by the way, the government says prayer is illegal. It's right? That's that same government for you, right? The court said prayer is illegal and murdering babies. Well, that's a choice. Well, do I have a choice to pray? Oh, no choice to pray. Ain't no choice to pray. There's choice to murder. Well, come on, you guys don't understand government here. What time to be alive? We have the opportunity to make more difference than we could ever make. And I want those of you to know that I am committed, and I've been working behind the scenes with others behind the scenes, that we're going to come out with an even more aggressive, masculine Coach Dave Live group. We ain't sitting back and taking it no more, folks. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for us to show up. About time somebody done something. Abortion's health care. You believe that, Paul? Abortion's health care. And then we believe that crap. By the way, I got to say this quickly before I got a minute. Paul Goslin sent me some video. Paul, what's the name of that website of yours that we can throw up there real quick?
JusticeForPaul.com.
Put it up there real quick. Paul, I went through your website yesterday. I got so angry. How wicked the system is.
Justice not finished.
What's that?
I just got hundreds and hundreds of hours from the hospital stay, you know, and yeah. I'm putting together another video. It's unbelievable what these people think they can get away with.
What they think they can get away with in the name of government, right? Huh? So you don't mind if we share that link, do you, Paul? Folks, you'll spend some time on that link and see what they did to this guy. They left, shot him and left him to die. Ain't it? Paul, it ain't even open for debate. They said you had a gun, you didn't have a gun. They shot you without even seeing a gun. guy sitting in a red chair, in a red car. What a time to be alive. Have a great weekend. See some of you Saturday night, I hope. And Adam, I'll see you in the morning. Lord, make me healthy. Get over this stinking cold. See you tomorrow.